What's up, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Love the Grind Podcast. It's Will Walk.
It's your boy, Rock Jones. We got a special guest today in the building, man, actually on Zoom. Good friend of mine, my boy, Zeke Jones. We're going to dive right into it, man. Chicago, man. Chicago basketball. That's one of the meccas of basketball in the United States. Would you say so?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, us being so close to Chicago, you know, we all look up to style of play and everything that goes with the culture of the game in Chicago. We all look up to that and know somebody that's been right in the heart of it.
Growing up in that culture, man, and, you know, playing at some schools that's very rich in basketball tradition. What was that like from Simeon to UCLA and, you know, making it all the way through 10 years of professional basketball? What was it like growing up in Chicago playing basketball?
Yeah, man, it's always been a grind, you know. There's so many hoopers here. It's hard to like make your name for yourself sometimes, or you know, you gotta really have some type of bite about you. You know what I mean? Some type of fight about you to even want to get your name out there, man. Growing up, I was just trying to be seen, because I mean, I ain't even know nothing about like AAU being as big as it is and all that. So I was just driving and playing street ball, trying to hoop and look good for the cash out, you know, right. In the park.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it was tough, man. You know, I looked up to dudes like my cousin used to hoop. His name was Terrence Butler, around Avalon Park. Stephon Hannah, a lot of people know Steph's name. He was one of the dudes I looked up to, came up behind. Just, man, trying to be like them, to be honest. Them was some of the first dude I've seen felt like they could overly handle the ball. Like, y'all ain't never seen nobody pick the niggas. Yeah, so it was just,
I would say that's a big difference in, you know, coming from a city like Chicago and, you know, for instance, like us, you know, coming from a smaller city where, you know, you don't have that many high schools, you know, it's like, it's easy to be a big dog here, but like in a city like Chicago, you know, when I go out there and, you know, I'm playing in those pro-ams, I notice a lot of different guys on these different teams that's coming to the pro-am every year. And it's like, are these teams that are from like neighborhoods, or is it like just different areas? Like I know the Village team, from what I understand, that's like
I mean, it ain't normally right now. It used to be like that back in the day, like when I was young, it'd be like Parks versus Parks. So like they'll put all the young guys like myself that was around that Avalon area, put us all on one team. We go play niggas from other, you know, from another park or whatever, up right. The street or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but now it's just more about them. Everybody putting a bunch of whoever you know and who can hoop.
Recruiting who they can get.
Yeah, they trying to win. They trying to win these tournaments.
And I blame that on LeBron, man. You know what I'm saying? It's trickling over to the pro-ams. Everybody is no loyalty no more, man. Just everybody just recruiting who they can.
They just want to win. Everybody just want to win. That's all it is.
Yeah. That's all it's about, man. And honestly, like now the park districts ain't even like it used to be when we were shorty. So that's why it ain't as far as like the camaraderie and people from your area all coming together as much as they used to be.
Grassroots.
It used to be you could walk up. Yeah, I go around Avalon, man. They took the rims off, you know, from outside. Like I guess they just trying to keep the kids from being all huddled up in them areas because I guess, you know, they're afraid of what might happen. It's a crowd of people. But back when I was young, it was tournaments out there. You can go up there any day of the week and catch, you know, some of the best players out there hooping outside.
Right.
You know what I mean, I didn't have my ball kicked into the street. I'm trying to be a shorty on the side shooting and just rolling into the game. All the news like, man, get out of here.
Right.
You know, but they ain't got that no more, man. That's why it ain't no real, like, it's every man for themselves now. To be honest, all the shorties is playing wherever. All the adults playing wherever. It's just about trying to win. Get on the team who could win.
Right. We talked before about, Jared talked about this, New York teammates that he had and the type of attitude that they have when they approach the game. It was like, I think that comes from a lot of players in big cities just because all you have to do just to get seen, as you said, you know what I mean? There's so many good players. Like you almost got to create a persona for yourself to like be noticed a little bit. Like you can't just be good. You got to be good and show it off a little bit to get noticed.
Showman a little bit. Yeah, I mean, unless you just, got super game, and right. you know what I mean? It's a straight bucket.
Right.
You got to have a little bit about you. They be like, man, because a lot of dudes talk, you know what I mean? A lot of dudes can do certain things, but it's definitely a show sometimes, you know, especially when there's crowds out there, be guys in different neighborhoods, especially like playing in the Pro-Am in Chicago. Mm-hmm. They be all over the place. You play up at the Pro-Am this last time. It was guys from the West Side. It was like West Side versus South Side. And I forgot because I've been gone so long, I don't usually play in like the Pro-Am. But this time I really wanted to get it in, you know, stay in shape. And I forgot how big it is like that, how, you know, these young boys yelling at me. I'm like, I don't even know y'all. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? But they know, you know, it's, they just rooting for the people that's on that team. It's mostly West Side dudes on that team. They know we from the South Side. It's mostly guys that I went to high school with.
Right.
You know, from the South Side. So that made the atmosphere crazy. You know what I mean? People who be promoting these be knowing what they doing. You know what I mean? They be hyping. You hear them on the sideline hyping it up, going crazy on the mic. Cause they right. know what they doing.
Right.
So you said, you know, you could go out there sometimes and you might, you know, see some of the best players, you know, that you done seen just right out there at the park. You got a chance to, you know, be able to see one of the best players in the world, you know what I'm saying, right there in person, you know, day in, day out, work ethic and all of that. Like, what was it being able to play with, you know, Derrick Rose, you know, the youngest MVP in NBA history? What was it like not just seeing him, but having to, you know, this is the guy I got to play behind. You know, I got to come out here and follow up this act right here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's the GOAT, man. For me, you know, he gonna always be that dude because he just I seen him. Honestly, like when I first came in high school, like I said, I never really knew how big AAU was and, you know, the stuff that they was doing outside of seeing him and during the school year and games. So I didn't really know he was like that dude like that, you know? So, but I seen it in practice, you know what I mean? I seen how athletic he was, how fast he was and all that. It was crazy, but he just did all the little stuff, man. Like he wasn't like the most amazing shooter when we were younger in high school, but you could tell every day he did his form shoot. He did, you know what I mean? I didn't see the things that he did after practice, you know what I mean? Until I got to like my senior year, he was working out for the McDonald's game and I'd go work out with him for a while and I seen the stuff he was doing outside of what we actually did at school sometimes. I'm like, man, like he was putting in that extra work. That dude a real dog, man. Like ain't nothing around it. You can't really put nothing up against what he done for me at least. And the stuff I done seen him do, you know what I mean? When it comes, he's one of those guys, he ain't got to do much talking, but if you get him talking, he might, you know, he gonna make you look kind of, you know, small, you know?
Right,
that dude
right.
amazing, man. He work hard, man. Like,
He seemed extremely humble, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to like just the way he carry himself, you know, it's not like he kind of keep his head down and, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, like people talk about Kawhi and whatnot and how he's, you know, just quiet. You know, some people just feel comfortable around the people that they know, you know, just not real big public figures and just always in front of the cameras, in front of the media and all of that. I'm sure, you know, when he's, you know, in Chicago and his element and atmosphere and all of that, then, you know, he's a different person or whatever. But, yeah, man, that's good to, you know, just hear about, you know, the way he moves and whatnot.
He really been you know what I mean, he kind of been in the public eye for a while before even social media was big. So he kind of always knew how to, you know what I mean, how to, you know, hold himself up when he's out in public and we out in game. But like, you know, if you catch him by himself or when you just meet with some of the guys, man, he talks, you know what I mean, he way more lively. But you can tell he a hooper, man. He ain't really about all the glitz and glamour. He about, you know, hoop. I'm going out here to hoop, and this is what y'all paying me to do, and I'm out here trying to win. Outside of that, he ain't really trying to get into the being seen overly much. That just never really been him, to be honest.
So, coming out of high school, how did your JUCO opportunity come around? Like, of course, playing in high school, you want to take that next step, but how did you get there?
Man, I didn't even when you think about JUCO, I didn't even know nothing about JUCO, to be honest, like that. I was in, obviously, my junior year, I had to play behind Derrick. You don't really get to play. That'd be real. He's the best player in the country.
Right.
So, you know, but I got to just hone my game and play against, you know, one of the best players that, you know, that graced the floor in Chicago, period. So, after that, my senior year, we had a pretty good year. I played well. I came off the bench because I was still kind of unknown. So, coach kind of wanted to bring me off the bench because it was hard to scout me because people didn't really know me like that. You know, I wasn't like one of the biggest names, AAU and all that. I didn't play on none of the big AAU teams. And I might have killed during summer league. The coaches might have known me, but the players, you know what I mean, they just start hearing about me as the season starts. So then, man, it was coming into my senior year. And I had a few schools like Western Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky, you know, Little Rock, Arkansas. And I was still kind of big headed. I was a lot naive, like, man, I wanted some bigger schools, you know what I mean? I wanted to go better places. But I was willing to, you know, whatever. It was Division One. I was like, I just want to go hoop and, you know, get a scholarship. And then my test, you know, you had to take the SAT bunch ACT, of times. Yeah. You know, yeah, ACT a bunch of times, man. And it was just taking a while for my scores to come back because I took it like 5, 6 times. And schools, them little schools I had just fell off me, man. And then they had a little basketball site, it was called, I think Illinois Hoops or something like that. And the JUCO coach that I ended up going to, he just pretty much asked who somebody that they need to be getting in tune with. And it was me. And I went down there for one visit. I went to John Logan for one visit and worked out with one of the guys who was about to be a sophomore. Worked out with him one-on-one. And in front of the coaches, my parents came down and everything. They drove down, picked us up, came down there. And I was it, man. I didn't really have much. So my coach was just like, my high school coach was just like, man, sign here. And if any Division I's come back for you, you can always, they trump any JUCO. So you can just sign like and leave and not even have to go to the school. So I was like, okay. So I ended up not having those schools because I had like Kennedy King, or my mom ain't going to be in the city no more. So I just went ahead with it, man. And honestly, it was just like a kind of a blessing. I didn't want to be there, didn't expect to even be there, didn't know nothing about it. And, you know, God just kind of been guiding me through my little path, to be honest.
That's what's up. So, I mean, just being able to get to UCLA from out of that situation, you know, did that feel like it was just like, man, everything falling into place? Like, I never expected to be here. Or were you like, yeah, I knew, you know what I'm saying, this was going to come around. Like, it was just a matter of time. Or, like, how did you feel when that offer came on the table?
Man, it was kind of a little bit of both. Because, like, before they came, I had some schools that I was interested in. And, like, my first year, I didn't like, start. And I was playing behind a sophomore my first year until, like, December, January. And we had, like, you know how you get to go home for New Year's break and stuff. Well, at least in JUCO. And he came back late. So the coach was just trying to punish him and not start him, you know what I mean? And I happened to play well. But then I started the rest of the season. I had some schools like Cleveland State and Evansville. But then my JUCO coach, he saw something obviously I didn't. Me or my parents didn't, because I was ready to commit to one of the schools. And I was ready to go on like some visits to Evansville and Cleveland State. And my JUCO coach canceled them. Like, just canceling. He canceled, and my father cussed him out. Bro. And he was just like, if you stay, he just kept telling us, if you stay, you could be one of the best point guards in the country. Like, and I'm like, man, I ain't trying to hear all that. I'm trying to go D1, have some more years in D1 to be able to try to get
schools.
To the league.
Good schools. They ain't UCLA, good schools.
No, I was down. I was right. Cleveland State just with Norris Cole just left. He was just about to go into the league. That was the guy I was coming in to replace. I'm like, bet. Right. You know what I mean? Like, right. He was killing. He went to the league after that. So I was ready to do it. And he went ahead and canceled that. And actually, it ended up working out. Like I said, God just kind of been guiding me through my journey, man. And I went in the summertime, went to some JUCO camps, and we did some preseason games. And by the time the season started, I had every school that you could name, honestly. And it was just like, I knew I was good enough to play D1, but like, I was like, man, I didn't expect the one that came through that. It was
right.
Way more than I could even expect it. So then that kind of started giving me the confidence. I got to be something. You know what I mean? I can't be, right. I knew I was good, but I got to be a little bit better than
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, like, there's some top schools.
Right.
So yeah. Like when you were in UCLA, like I said, you seem like you keep going to schools that's like, rich in guard play, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know it had to be some summer runs where, you know what I'm saying, maybe Westbrook or somebody might be back there in L.A. or Holiday.
Yeah,
or,
no, man, I met pretty much all of them, man. Earl Watson was somebody that kind of, like, was trying to put me under his wing when I first got there, because when I first got there, it was more like, you play in the men's gym. Like, the men's gym bigger now because of all the cameras and social media. But it was kind of big then, too, and they all used to come back. Earl Watson used to always try to, you know, helped me, and when he watched me play, you know, critique my game, he used to like ask me to come work out with him at night time. He was still actually in the NBA at the time, but he still be coming up there to work out and going, getting up in the morning, working out around there. Baron Davis. I played against Baron Davis a few times, and I went to, like, he asked me to come to yoga with him and stuff, just to chop it up with him. And, you know, that was my dude. You know what I mean? When I was younger, Baron Davis, Steve Francis, Allen Iverson, like, these were some of my dudes was on my wall. You know what I mean? And it was tripping me out that Baron Davis thought I was nice. You know, I hit him with a little more. He's like, man, okay. He's like, you can hoop a little bit. I'm like, yeah. But yeah, Jrue Holiday came back because I actually was coming in and take his spot because he ended up entering to the draft, so they needed somebody to come in, fill his spot in. And a little bit of every guard came back, man. I ran into all Aaron Aflalo. Like, I was playing against all of them when I was there, bro. They was real cool dudes, you know. And I think they all come back too to kind of test out the young dudes, and it helped bring in recruits when they seen all the NBA players coming through there. They're, you know, Farmar. It was crazy, bro. I always said that all that stuff has been a dream country. Like, because it took my confidence to a whole nother level. Like, when I was playing against them dudes.
Yeah, I forgot all about Farmar.
Farmar.
It was a cold blooded too. Cold blooded, athletic. He was cold, bro. He was one of the dudes that made me like, man, I gotta like get my confidence on a different level, because you could tell he felt like he was better than every person that, you know what I mean, it was, if Kobe was in there, he like, I would kill Kobe. That's how his mindset.
Right.
You could tell, you know what I mean? He talked crazy too. He was super, like, it's hard to say cocky, but his confidence showed when he played, you know what I mean? He was cool off the court, but it was just something about him, man. It took me to a whole another level. I got to get more confidence on another level. I was competing with these dudes, you know what I mean? Russell Westbrook. These dudes is amazing. I was able to get down with them. So it was like,
and also, you know, like, anytime you're in that type of situation where you coming into a program that has so much tradition, it's like you feel, it's like that weight on your shoulders. Like, I'm not about to be the year that, you know what I'm saying? I come in here and, this is the down year where I got to live up to the expectations. You know, they brought me in here. They see something in me that they saw in them. So it's like that, you said, that's a confidence booster. And like, I can tell, you know, like, just from playing with you over the years and, you know, seeing you develop as a player, how kind of like playing with all of those guys or following all of those guys has kind of like impacted your game as far as like just your confidence. And some of the guys we go up against, you know, you might have a coach who's on the scouting report and this guy right here is this. You like, man, this dude ain't nothing. Like, do you not know who I've been playing against, bro? I've been playing with D. Rose, bro. Right. Russell Westbrook. Yeah. Like, this is nothing.
For real, bro. That's how I keep myself into it too. Like, I always, especially when you know how it is, you playing on teams, you playing against Euro League teams that they think is superior. And I used to be, that's how I always lived that. Like, man, I done competed with some of the best. Ain't no way I'm scared to step out here, no matter what's going to happen. You know what I mean? We coming out here to try to win, but I know for sure he got to check me too. You know what I mean? He got to check me too. And, you know what I mean? I don't think I'm no easy cover.
Right.
So that's how I've always carried that, especially when I was younger. Like, it was, man, I know these dudes ain't them. You know what I mean? They ain't these NBA players, so.
Right. Man, these overseas coaches will go over scouting report like a player is the best player on the planet, man.
Amazing. Yeah. He might average 5 points and 7 rebounds. He's amazing. You'd be like, what? Amazing? Like, I guess.
Or even they might just talk about a team. Yo, it's going to be loud in there. It's going to be a lot. I'm like, man. You ever seen March Madness? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know what I'm saying?
We're just not prepared for this. Wow.
Tell you, man. I played in Kansas. I played against Kansas my very first year, man. It was like my third game. My first year at UCLA. I'm coming from JUCO. I'd have played at some rowdy gyms at JUCO. It's different. It's grimy. You might get into a fight in the gym. But in Kansas, it's like, bro, it was like my third game. We played Villanova right before this. Kansas, the third game from me coming to JUCO. Man, I was sitting as close as I am to this screen right now with the coach. You couldn't hear a word he was saying. Had to like use cards and like write stuff out and use cards. You could feel the floor shaking in there, bro.
That was the rowdiest crowd you played against, Kansas?
Kansas and Washington used to be like that one, because they had like them gyms that's like, they're not super big, but it's like a dome. It's like they on top of you. Yeah. Like, Kansas is like a farm. It's like a farm, pretty much, a barnyard. And, bro, you know, I say from the time, like, layup line and all that. And, you know, what our coach used to do is before the games, he had, like, speakers in the gym, like, real loud, trying to, like, you know, trying to make it seem like that's how it's going to be at the gym. But it ain't nothing like when you step out there and that floor's shaking.
Can't recreate the atmosphere.
nothing at all, bro. Like, he yelling and he right here close to your face. You can't hear. You can't hear it. You can try to read his lips or read what he's saying on, you know, what he writing down. And they got boards writing down the plays. But you can't hear nothing, bro. Like, ain't no calling no plays. You got to be really locked in with your headset, bro. Ain't no talking out there.
Right. Yeah.
So that stuff never really bothered me. When I used to, play, like, we play Partizan, of course, it'd be nuts out there. They got a crazy fan base. So, like, I felt that. Like, all right, man, it's just as, besides the throwing the batteries and stuff on the floor and all that, but it's just as loud as this.
That's another part about your game that I respected, you know, as playing with you as a point guard. It was like, you did a great job of communicating with your team, you know, as far as like what we in. Like, cause I done played with some guards who they coming out and they might be the guard defending them and they turning or whatever and they calling out the play. And now people on the other side of the court don't hear what he's saying. Like, yo, why y'all ain't in the play? Man, we ain't hear what you ain't putting no hand signals up. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to be able to shield off a man, put the hand signal in the air, make sure everybody hear the play, call the right play, read the defense changes. They switching from zone to man. Like, it's a lot of responsibility on a point guard, like, that people don't really understand and respect enough when they look at how hard that job is.
Right.
Yeah, man. I take that back to Simeon, to be honest. Because, honestly, Simeon was running like, we ran like a college over there. You know what I mean? The coach would be on you. And there's certain things you got to be able to do. And that was something that they taught me at an early age. Because, like, you know, I don't know if they still do it now, but it's a 5-second rule. You know what I mean? You dribbling the ball and somebody close enough, arm length is close enough to where the ref gets to count in 5 seconds. Yeah. So they used to make me work on that because I always been able to dribble the ball, but when I was younger, I never really was, I wasn't that what you're saying, like, as far as being able to communicate well and call plays early and get guys into things early. So they used to really make me focus on that. Like, you know what I mean? I had to work on, all right, yeah, you can handle the ball, but I need you to get that separation to break that 5-second count so you can be able to tell everybody what's going on so we can keep things moving. Because then it gets faster when you get to college, you know what I mean? Because of the shot clock coming in, you know what I mean? So now, because in high school, you know, you can hold the ball and the whole clock pretty much, but when it start going up, once that shot clock get involved, things moving a little faster. But now you got to be on top of things. So I've always been, you know, that was something that really, you know, clicked with me. I come from a family of hoopers, man. All my uncles and stuff hoop. They always point guards and stuff. So it's kind of like, you know, being that point guard leader thing kind of just came with how I was brought up hooping, to be honest. So it wasn't hard. It was just certain little things that, you know, you got to learn coming up that I kind of caught at an early age.
Right. Jared touched on watching your development as a player. A lot of people don't know that y'all paths kind of been intertwined a couple times along the way. Starting off when y'all came out of college, being on the Kings Summer League team together, and him kind of following your career from one team to the next team. And then y'all teaming up.
Catch up.
Right. And then playing against each other and finally playing together.
Yeah, man. He's been in it.
Right.
I think that's crazy, though. You know, the fact that, you know, like, if we look at our class when we came out, it's not a lot of players that we played with that still actually, you know what I'm saying, either playing or still playing at a high level. And for us to be able to, you know, kind of, like he says, it was kind of weaved in. Like, you know, you went to, you know, Solnok and Hungary. I came there after you left, and you went to Karsiaka. Then I ended up there. Then we ended up in Monaco together. But it's just a testament of the journey, man. Like, you never know if you're going to be on that big team next year, you're going to be on that small team. Like, you know, a lot of players that I played against who I seen at, you know, a low level, I'm like, oh, I never really be like, oh, he playing there. Because I know next year he might be on the next big team. You know what I'm saying? So you always got to stay true to your path, man, and just trust the process and put that work in.
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, you know, them was like when we first got out of college. Like, them starting, you know, he did, you know, Summer League, Sacramento, and all that. That was like starting all over for me because I was on the high from that UCLA stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I just came from JUCO, being a little bit of nobody, and now I'm like, my dad posted that, you know, in UCLA with my face on it and all that stuff. So then going to Sacramento, it was like, all right, I ain't really played. We had Jimmer, T. Rob. You know what I mean? They was shooting all the balls, man. So it was like, man, right then and there, that could have been our time. We just really gave it up. You know what I mean? Like, man, I can't keep, I ain't getting it. You know what I mean? It ain't coming for me. But Like I keep saying, man, God has been kind of guiding my path, bro. Like when I kept bumping into you, it was crazy because there were some of the times I was kind of down on myself. Like, man, I'm competitive, so I'm able to go out and compete. But I'm like, man, I wasn't really working my whole life for this. I was working my whole life trying to get to the NBA. You know what I mean? I was like, you know, doing my thing and playing well in these places, but it was more like I just had to get this, you know, get it in, work on my game over here, try to win these games and just show that I'm good. So that way, hopefully I can get a chance once I go get back to the state. Right. And keep bumping you. And I'm like, it got to the point I knew the scouting report on you. Now they asking me, like, yeah, you played against them last year, you played with them this year. Like, you know, and it's crazy when it gets to that point. It's like, man, it's not only do it start like we getting older in the game, but it's like, man, we real vets out here. Like, we well known too. You know what I mean? When they talk about you, that, he can do this. And this team, he's doing this, and he may not get as many shots, but we know that from a year before that he could get 20. Like, you know what I mean? We got to really make sure we lock in and focus on it. Like, it ain't no, it's a lot of respect. Like, I got a lot of respect for you and just the respect for the gang. It's like, we done came a long way in this, man. Yeah, like, I remember being on these, nothing on these scouting reports, to be honest.
I've noticed that as well when it's like, you know, you got some younger guys that's coming in as 22, 23, and then they go over there, and then, like, it's somebody that you know from over the years, like, this dude is a bucket. Like, are you kidding me? And they like, yo, how old is he? 30 on the scouting report. Like, who is this dude? Like, all right, sleep on him if you want to. Like, he will give you a bucket.
All right, young boy.
I don't know what he did last year in that system he was in or the year before, but I know he is a bucket. Like, and you just start to learn.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of players, it's like, it's crazy how small the world becomes. And it's right. Like, you start knowing players from New York and L.A., like, places you never even, you know what I'm saying, been to or something like the hoop. And it's like, damn, I know all the players from there now.
Even some of the boss men. Like, you start playing against boss men in different countries.
Yeah, you start learning different Europeans. And it's
like, yeah, for sure. You start having more respect, honestly. When I was coming in, bro, and hearing, like you know Spanulis is and Olympiacos. Yeah. He's been there for years. He's been this great Greek basketball player. When I say I didn't care, I'm like, who is this? Why everybody acting like he's just a guy? Right. I've gained so much respect from over the years, you know what I mean? And now I look at him too, like, man, like, he retired, bro. That's crazy. Yeah, right. He's great. You know what I mean? But like, them first 3 years,
he just retired, and it's like, we, like, I done been on, like, 4 or 5 teams where we got a play called Spanulis, and I'm like, y'all naming a play after somebody still playing? He's still playing. Like, you giving him too much. And then it's like, I learned, like, okay, he's really a legend out here. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you start seeing players Tia Dosage out there who's just like, man, he out here really doing some incredible stuff. Like, the amount of respect get in Europe is unbelievable.
Yeah, you don't know about it. Like, people are getting more because, of course, social media has made the world smaller pretty much. But before that, you didn't know who these people were. You didn't hear about these people in the U.S. Like, neither did I really care, to be honest. I didn't plan to be in Europe like that. So I didn't know who these people were. But like you said, like, everywhere I've been, it's like it's a newly play. As soon as they call it, they ain't even got to go through the play. I know exactly what it is. Everybody right at the same way because he's been cooking people for years doing this same place. So yeah, man, it's been a crazy journey, bro. I gained so much respect for people that I didn't know, for myself, for the European style of basketball, period. You know what I mean? And just like the type of stuff we done had to do to get to where we at. Like, 10 years is a long time, bro. And just watching, like he just says, a lot of dudes that even we didn't play against or we heard about that came up when we did and played in these bigger schools, they retiring now or been playing on smaller levels and they haven't been able to really hit that door to be able to get on these bigger teams. It's like, man, we didn't came from nothing. And me and him just specifically, like, guys who really wasn't like them names, you know what I mean? And we got to Europe and was able to surpass some of the guys that was like close to the league, better than us at a young age, you know?
And talking about, going into, this is, year 10 for us, with longevity comes, highs and lows, that comes with injuries and whatnot. And specifically, there's been a lot of guys from Simeon, in the NBA who dealt with a lot of scrutiny from that, like Jabari Parker, Derrick Rose. So, like, being able to go into, 10 years of this professional hoop, dealing with, I know you've dealt with some injuries as well throughout your career, but still being able to persevere and still get through that. What type of respect does that give you for those guys who you see the media kind of like bashes for injuries, like it, almost like it's their fault, like, you know, like they want to be hurt. Like, how do you, what's your perspective on guys like Jabari and Derrick Rose who've dealt with so many injuries?
I mean, I'm always going to be biased when it comes to them. Like, Jabari was a young boy coming up there. We was in practice, coming to our practice, watching our practice, trying to get in our drills. But it's just like, it shows that fight in a man. Like, you got to be able to, because you can lose your hunger. You can lose your love for the game after injuries. Because it's like, especially when, at least on their level, with the type of money that those guys have made and are making. Because even like, you know, Derrick has told me this straight out of his mouth, like, people lose their hunger. It can happen. You know what I mean? And it just, especially with all the media and being under the you know, the media eye and all that, they portray it as if you're not working hard, as if you just damaged goods. And it's like, oh, bro, like, this comes with the wear and tear of basketball. Some people don't always get it. The style of play that, you know, we come from, it's a lot of movement. You know, these are athletic guys. They do a lot of jumping. They've been doing this for 10-plus years before they were professionals. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just come with the game, man. It's wear and tear. And for got people who's never really, really played basketball on a high level to be able to try to knock people and that has been putting their body on the line for years, you know what I mean? Because as we all know, as we get older, your body not really meant for this type of stuff. You know what I mean? You got to work so hard for your body to be able to stay at a certain level to be able to compete like this. Because every year, somebody younger and somebody more athletic, somebody faster.
Yeah,
but it's not easy. It's not easy, especially as you get older. You know what I mean? More responsibilities come. You have family. You know what I mean? A spouse sometimes. You have other things that are going on in your life that can take your mind off basketball. But the fact that you're able to work your butt off and get back to that high level, that shows the dedication that you have. That shows the love you have for the game, because it's not easy. People have gotten hurt and gave the game up. You know what I mean? And it's many people that's done it. I know I've had many, honestly, in my family coming up, it's at least two or three people have torn their ACL. You know what I mean? And this is before, of course, before, you know, how technology is now, where people are coming back from it more. But back then, that was like the death of your career,
right?
You know? And then it was, and you can lose it like, all right, man, where everybody say that this is it. So this is it. I can't do it no more. And it can be that easy. You know what I mean? It can really be that easy. So that shows the type of person that these people are. You know what I mean? They determined. They real fighters. You know what I mean? They not quitters. You know what I mean? And not saying that the people who did let it go are quitters. It's just that it takes a certain something, man, to be able to push through that and get back. And a little bit of luck, a little bit of blessing to be able to get back to that level and still be able to perform and compete. It's not easy.
Especially when you made that type of money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're making $200 million, you know, and you still want to wake up and go, like, but rehab is the most tedious, annoying, like, you know, process ever. But it's, if you really got that love and that drive, you're going to do it, and you're going to go there every morning with a good mindset, like, look, I got a goal that I'm trying to get back to, and that's where I'm trying to get to. So one way or another, I'm getting back on this court.
Man, it ain't easy, bro. It ain't easy. It's really more physically, it's physical, of course. It's maybe, I don't know, I could be off percentage-wise, but like 60% physical, but mentally, it's like, it could be even more, to be honest, because even when you come back from the injury, you're not always confident enough to do the same stuff you used to do.
Right.
Or your body might be ready to do it, but mentally you scared to do it. I can remember when I told my ACL, I can remember the gym. I can remember exactly the spot that I was in when it happened. And I can remember the year I came back and we had to play in that gym, how nervous I was to be in the gym.
Yep.
Yeah, for real. I was so scared to even be in the gym. I took all jump shots that game. I didn't go even in the area that I told my ACL. I can remember the hallway where they took me in, when they took me into go and get into the ambulance to lead the gym. I can remember every detail about it. So it was like, I was really shook coming into that game. It was a real achievement to even make it out that game for me. You know what I mean? Because every other game I was cool, but like that game I was shook.
Right.
So like that, it take a lot, bro. It take a lot out of you to get through that type of stuff, man. Like, it's not hard. It's not easy at all. It's been a crazy journey, bro. It's been dope. It's been a blessing. I try not to complain, cause, you know, obviously things don't always go your way. But there's been a, this basketball thing has been one of the best things that ever happened to me. And it's been, you know, it could be a, you know, it could be a bigger thing sometimes because, you know, once you get used to a certain, you know, certain way of living, a certain way of playing a game, you know what I mean? And things ain't going how you want to. Because like I said, I had to go through my injuries and stuff, and it was tough trying to get back to where I wanted to get to and trying to do the things I was doing when I was 25 and 24. And then it ain't happening. You know what I mean? You got to be able to, your game got to develop a certain way. You got to be able to evolve.
I was about to say, you can't.
This game
can't go back to how you used to play. Your body got different, man. But you're smarter now.
For sure. You got to be smarter now. Right. You have no other choice.
Right. Right. That knowledge. No other choice. People don't realize how big knowledge play in the game. Like all that knowledge that you pick up over the years, that's how you're able to compete against all the young cats, man. They jumping over people, but all you gotta do is pump fake them. They go flying.
Right? They don't know until they get to that age. Like they thinking you some type of old, like you slow, you ain't. I used to do everything you used to do.
Right.
You know, boy, but I just can't, you know what I mean. I'm just doing it a little easier now. I'm doing a little smarter now.
You can't even really. I don't know. Are we? I don't know what type of footage you got. You know, we kind of. It wasn't a lot of coverage back then. You can't even really say. Yeah, just get on Google and YouTube. But I got some clips out there. You know what I'm saying? But now they got clips from like. Man. I don't really have no high school clips like that to really show nobody. But nah, like, you know, sure. They got stuff from eighth grade up.
I wish, bro. If I had my JUCO stuff, bro, you'd have thought I was really, I got very athletic. Like I was, that's how I kind of got a lot of my food. I was dunking it, you know what I mean, super fast, and that was just it. All kind of developed in JUCO. I got a little bit taller. We started lifting. We did, you know, boxing stuff we didn't do in high school. Mm-hmm. We was kids, you know what I mean. And man, that's when my stuff took off. Man, they thought I was 6'3" when I was coming in UCLA. That was not true. I wish we had some of that, but I got a couple things, you know what I mean, from my years when I was first starting out, but I ain't got, you know, some of my JUCO years like that.
Like overseas basketball, we all know it's a ton of downtime. You watch the NBA?
I mean, I used to more when I was younger, but it's hard to do it as much because the games come on so late.
Right.
So, I mean, but I still try to keep up with as much as I can, but not as much. I used to watch every game. I would stay up. I'd be 4 o'clock in the morning trying to watch these NBA games just so I could keep up with it because that's what I was trying to get to. But now, you know, I just watch pretty the players that I like now. You know what I mean? I try to catch those games. If not, I'll watch it like the next morning or something. I've got the league pass, so I catch the game later or something.
Right. What are the players that you like to watch now? Or who are the players that you like to watch? I said what?
Man, at this moment now, like Ja Morant is cold to me.
Man,
he's cold blooded. He cold blooded, dog. Him, Luka, of course. I remember just telling people about Luka when he was still in Europe, and they like, he ain't gonna be. I'm like, son, he ain't gonna be a bust. He's either gonna be a superstar. He's gonna be a really good player. He ain't gonna suck. Like right. He would. People thought he was gonna be trash, but you know, who else, man? Now I'm finally watching the Bulls because I was not feeling them for years upon years since Derek was left. But that was the last time I was watching up until now. They get now they're worth watching.
They're fun to watch now, man. I love watching Bulls
games. Yeah,
I actually just got league pass just to watch Bulls games because I ain't got time to watch.
They got a great combination. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of high. You got DeRozan. You got Green. You got LaVine, you got Derrick Jones Jr. Like, that's a lot of athleticism with Lonzo.
The best part about it is no egos. They playing to win basketball games, you know? And they...
Yeah. Well, they
don't forget Caruso.
They know their roles.
Right. They all know their roles and when they supposed to do what. And they doing it well.
Defending the ball.
Right. Crazy defense.
Everywhere. Yeah, you can't hate on them. I was not feeling them in their organization for a very long time, and some of the decisions they was making with players, bro. But like this is now you got to kind of give it to them. Like, all right, y'all kind of pulled it together on this.
Right.
Before it was not right.
Got rid of guard packs and everybody on the team except for two players. They cleared.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, man. They need to clear the deck. They need to clear it all out.
And they still bad. They still shopping Kobe. They still trying to get rid of Kobe. They said, we don't want nobody from before on this team except for Zach.
Yeah. They don't know how to, because, I mean, they just want to make good decisions, man. Like, I ain't even, not saying that Kobe ain't a decent young player. I just don't think he was what the team needed.
Right.
I don't think whoever, you know how I be sometimes, man. Some of these dudes that be ahead of these teams, even though they've been working in the NBA for such a long time, some of these ain't never played the game. Some of these ain't really got no knowledge of the game. And you could tell. You could tell some organizations that's ran the right way. Like, even though the Spurs are down right now, you could tell they ran the right way.
Right.
You could tell they make – they draft picks out the right way.
I think certain,
you know what I mean? Some of their D-League teams be good, like, because they just know how to run an organization.
Right. I think certain teams actually have, you know, scouts who are scouting. You know what I'm saying? Some teams have scouts who are they looking at a list, top players, top names. This is who we supposed to, you know, draft, as opposed to sometimes you got to find those gems and go find somebody who actually can help the team. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to, I remember when I was going through the draft process, you know, they would say, okay, they could take a chance on this guy, but if they take a chance on him and he bust, then that looks bad on the organization. If they take a chance on this guy that they're supposed to take and he don't perform, then that means that's on him. He's going to look like a bust.
Yeah.
It's a safe pick for
us.
Didn't
work out.
But, you know, sometimes as an organization, you can't always make that safe pick. You got to actually do some homework and say, man, this guy right here will fit in perfect with this organization, like with the system that we got, he would fit in and give us success. But if you always just looking at a stat sheet, that's not going to be able to help you pick a team.
Right.
Yeah, man, for sure. It's always been real political, bro. Like, it's as much as you try to feel like you want to get away from it, this is what it is. The league is just super political. It ain't always the best players. Like, the best players in the world aren't always in the NBA. And it's real.
Right.
Sometimes it's about who you know, who they know.
Even political with, like, trying to get overseas. Like, a lot of people, we know a lot of people who should have the opportunity to play overseas, but because they didn't go to college or didn't go to a big college, like, they never get that shot.
Yeah.
It's not a fair shot.
Or just didn't run into the right agent that got the right, you know what I mean, type of pool for you. That's how it be, man. Like, I know a couple dudes, and you know, guys come at you and they think you help me get over there. Then I'm like, honestly, bro, I don't got the pool like that myself. It's just, I went to UCLA. But again, that happened to help me get a good job. And then it's about what you do when you get over there. The hardest part is getting in a good situation. Once you get there, you can hoop. It could take off from there. But it's about getting somewhere that you can get seen and get busy.
For sure.
Don't always happen to people, bro. There's too much politics going on. All the best players ain't even in the NBA or overseas.
Right.
Dudes that can ball it. They ain't never
and it shows
really
too,
been paid.
Because sometimes you get overseas and, you know, you might have that NBA stamp, but that stamp only lasts for a couple years if you're not producing. You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys got stamped and came from these high major colleges, go to the NBA, don't pan out there, go overseas, and all right, I'm about to go over here and just take over this team. It don't work like that.
Man, another thing about the overseas ball is, though, you come overseas, you got to know how to play basketball.
Yeah.
Like this, this not going to play at the park. This not going to no adult runs, nothing like that. This is, you got to know your X's and O's to come over here, because some of these coaches will kick you right off the team for
they running plays.
They running plays. Like, I mean, everything, 50 plays.
I showed up last year to a team. I signed a little late after I had my daughter. So when I got there, it was like right before the first game. When I landed, I literally got a playbook. He texted me a playbook. It was about 80 plays, bro. I had to learn like 80 plays on top of the scouting report for the team we about to play. So I'm like, bro, how can I learn all of our plays and all of their plays at the same time? Over a phone, not even walking through it, like reading a playbook. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's tough, bro. Like,
they don't care, bro. They'll throw you right in the fire 2 days after you get off the plane. You be like, hold on, can I get a chance to at least practice, work out with the team? Like, no, it's a game coming up, bro. We don't care about none of that. Throw you out there. You go, they think you machines, man. Like, you just got it. All right, forget it. We got to go out here and do what I can now.
Yeah. That's why somebody told me, man, when in doubt, shoot it. And always be in doubt.
you always in doubt.
Wow.
Yeah, man. See, it's definitely different, bro. That overseas stuff is not, everybody think if you just go over there and it's a cakewalk. So you get there and then you get exposed, you know what I'm saying? Show you your flaws in your game, to be honest. Because, I mean, I don't know, in the league, like, I've only done like, you know, preseason and played, you know, a few games where I played against NBA players on the NBA floor. And it's different. When you get out overseas, but it's real life. You got to know basketball. They expose you if you can't shoot. If you ain't a good driver, you're out of control driver, you're going to get exposed. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is nothing. I like Avery Bradley as a basketball player. He's really good. He's somebody you love to have on your team. Hate when he's on other teams. He plays so hard. And I remember when I first was like getting to Israel, I think it was like right before the lockout. The lockout was a year or two before, something like that. It was a year. Whenever the lockout was, I got there a little bit after that, or I played there a little bit after that. They were just talking about how bad Avery Bradley was. And I'm like, what y'all talking about? Like, he couldn't shoot. He really couldn't shoot. Like, you know, he was good defensively, but he couldn't shoot. You know what I mean? He couldn't really, he wasn't the best passer as far as, like, creating for guys. And I'm like, y'all talking about Avery Bradley? Like, Avery Bradley, one of the best defenders in the league. Like, he, but young defenders in the league, you know, but that's just, it tripped me out because I looked at him differently before that. But then after playing over there, that you know what I mean, you get to looking at guys' games a little different. Like, to be honest, this ain't, you know, I don't like to knock dudes, but I'd be thinking to myself, watching some games, I'd be like, I'll be playing against him in a few years. He'd be over here a year or two. I'll see him next, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'll be playing on one of these tapes. So if your game don't develop the right way, on to the next. That's how it be. Yeah. You know what I mean? No, for real, I've been trying to put my little memoirs together, man. I think about putting like a little, you know what I mean, a little book, because everybody like kind of tell me that I did kind of come out of nowhere with this basketball. So nobody, my high school coach ain't think I was going to be a little bit of nothing, bro, to be honest. He ain't really messing me like that until he had no other choice to put me on the floor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm thinking about, you know, I've been trying to write my little memoirs down because, you know, obviously we getting older. It's time to, at some point, it's going to be time to sit it down. And if it ain't nothing yet, I got to get big about, but I at least want my kids and my grandkids. Like, yeah, he was a, you know what I mean? Know what I've been doing. I've been trying to find, you know, I was just talking about footage. I've been trying to find footage of my old footage. It's hard to find. Like, even
I got a lot of newspaper clippings.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? I got some newspaper clippings.
That blue tub under there?
Yeah.
All high school and college newspaper clippings. Pictures.
I got pictures.
You
got
to keep that, bro. You got to keep, you know, you're not old dudes. You talking, man, back in the day. You don't be thinking, I got proof now. You feel me? Right. I can show y'all that I just put it to work out here.
Yeah, I got the proof.
I was a dog.
My mom came and dropped the thing. She dropped that off right at the front door. Like, take this box. You don't need.
Boom.
End of the day, we see him playing the same clips of Wilt Chamberlain and Julius Erving over and over.
Right.
But we know they were some dogs, though. You know what I'm saying? So, man. End of the day.
You see that?
Sometimes it's better than I had no footage, because now you can kind of create the narrative how you want it. Just tell, hey, man, I was a bad boy back then.
Like at the barbershop.
Yeah.
Yep. Barbershop talk.
Man, y'all see that that clip of Wilt Chamberlain? They HD'd that.
Yeah, when they put the color on it.
Right, and he did that fadeaway on every shot.
Yeah.
That looked cold. I ain't
that, right.
That, color, that color make him look a little more athletic, too.
Right. For sure, dude. Man, that man was strong.
He looked so cold out there, dog. He was a dog.
He was dropping that shoulder of death on everybody. Hitting.
Oh, for sure. They was too little. And he was way more skilled than I even really thought. Like, his footwork was cold. The fadeaway looked like some dirt. You know what I mean? Some tape. Mm-hmm. 1 foot. So I'm like, man.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's the best all dunking and things, throw little hook sizes. He shoot jump shot. That give you a different perspective. But I'm like, all right, hold on. He's like, that's the game, bro.
Yeah. Doing that fadeaway bank over and over and over again. It was crazy.
Oh, bro. Like 7'3" or something to do all that.
Yeah, okay. Ready to go.
he got a studio session. It's all good.
Man. Speaking of studio, you ready for your freestyle? I'm about to play a beat.
My kids are calling me. They all right first. And my lady keeps calling. She's trying to. Yeah, man.
No.
Hey, but I appreciate this, bro. This is dope, bro. I appreciate y'all having me on, though.
Yeah, yeah. We appreciate you for coming on, man. It's definitely been another good episode of Love the Grind podcast with Zeke Jones and
Rock Jones. You can follow me at BasketballJones45. Y'all can follow Zeke at international_Zeke. That's Z-E-E-K, not Z-E-K-E. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get you right.
Yeah, and I'm Will Walk. We'll see y'all next time on
Love the Grind.